I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. It's a time to get your early witchy on in line with Halloween and have some fun. Have a reading. Have a healing session. Go to the lectures, which are free with the admission. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com to find out more information. Now, in addition, at the end of this month, June 30th, we're going to have a quarterly preview with astrologer Joyce Day Muse, numerologist Kirilani, and tarot reader Cherie Greek. And that will be at the Monterey Elks Club. Now, you can go to goodvibrationsradio.com, go to the guest page, and there's a link, there's a link to the event page, so you can go ahead and get the information and be sure to be there. It's only a $10 admission. Doors open at 7 p.m., and then we'll start at 7:30 and receive all of that great guidance for July, August, and September. So we know what to anticipate going forward. Well, here we are. It's the 19th of June. What a fast year. As you've heard on this show, and you may hear again at the quarterly preview, you know, the first 6 months of the year are the creative cycle of the year. We're setting our intentions. We're putting things in motion so that as we hit July, August, September, October, November, and December, we bring in that manifesting energy, kind of that masculine time of the year, when we start bearing the fruits of the efforts we put forward. That also goes with this year of the fire rooster, which says essentially, or the fire monkey rather, which says we bear the fruit of success based on what we bring forward in the world. And I may have, I got to check on that real quick. I may have actually said that wrong. And that's what happens sometimes when you go into saying things without looking at them. But essentially, this year is a year of success for all of us. You can expect that we'll move forward very, very well and successfully. Hold on, let me check. Based on the efforts that we've put forward into this year. Yeah, it's the fire rooster. I went backwards. The fire monkey, that's why. And so it's the sign of dawn and awakening and triumph and success. So it's really important that we take a look at what was our intentions this first half of the year. What can we expect to manifest in the second half of the year? And what can we do to create new intentions or new shifts in these last few weeks of this month? Excuse me. As many of you know, I like to start the show with Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, it goes right to the point of that issue of intention. Sometimes we think we intend something, but it's really not heartfelt. It's not coming from a place of commitment inside of us. Sometimes we think we're committed, but it's not heartfelt. James Allen wants us to know, if we connect, if we believe, if we create that emotional connection with it, we can create any reality we choose. And our past thoughts, habits, and beliefs have created this present reality we're all in right now. But we're not predestined by the past. In this present moment, we can shift our habits, our thoughts, our beliefs to create a new future tomorrow. So day by day, James Allen's words have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month. And for the 19th day of the month, he says, good thoughts bear good fruit. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take root there produces its own, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstances. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. And that essentially is a wonderful little summary, excuse me, is what I said the entire purpose of As a Man Thinketh is what are we thinking? How often have we canceled out a good intention by following it with the thought of why it couldn't happen? And then we say, well, maybe it could. And now we've gone away from that heartfelt intention to doubt. And so when we have those issues, it's good for us to go back and examine how much we are truly connected. Because the more we think about lack and bad times and what's wrong and what's not right, the more lack and bad times and wrong and not right we manifest into our lives. Now, this isn't a rose-colored glasses issue. This isn't put on rose-colored glasses and take a look at an auto wreck and say, well, that's not bad. At least the tires on the rear of the car are still good. No, we see things for what they are. We see the reality, but we don't dwell on the fact that every life has rain in it. Every life has issues. Every life has problems. We empathize. We can even sympathize, but we don't dwell. We actually ensure that we're always giving thanks and gratitude for the good that's manifest in all of our lives. And one way to have a positive thought is often by sharing a positive thought each day with yourself. And I do that through Daily Word. And today's Daily Word says, I share a heart and soul connection with others. That's pretty much saying that no matter where you are in your relationship with other people, if your intention is separation, that's what you'll have. If your intention is connection, that's what you'll create. And it has nothing to do with the actions of the other person. It has everything to do with which intention we choose to create. And speaking of intentions and connections, that brings us right to our segment for today. Joyce Day Muse was born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area. Now, early in life, she began an interest in astrology. She learned all she could from books and observing friends and families and the quality of their signs. And upon moving to the Central Coast of California, she met a practicing astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. She also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. She was ordained in 1980 as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. And more exposure followed to many of the nation's leading astrologers through conventions, books, and recordings. 37 years later, Joyce has done thousands of readings and taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people. She's hosted many radio shows over the years and specializes in quick, on-the-spot readings, as well as longer, in-depth consultations. She's an expert in relationships and compatibility, and being an ordained minister who opened the door to performing numerous weddings over the last quarter of a century. She's a fixture at local psychic fairs and is well known for sharing her knowledge with the local community, as well as clients from around the world by phone or Skype. Now, Joyce plans to continue giving readings and to be of service to those who need clarity, guidance, encouragement, and support as long as she is able. And she joins us on the third Monday of each month. So let's listen to Joyce Muse and Your Lucky Stars. Joyce, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you, Salazar. Good to hear you.
Good to be heard.
I hope you're feeling okay.
Yeah, it's a little, pollen in there. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And also, we've got interesting things going on in the planets that can contribute to health problems.
Mm.
We're going through kind of a period of time where we're having yods, Y-O-D-S, or maybe it's pronounced yodes, but I always say yods. And a yod is a Y formation between three planets. So two of the planets are in harmony with each other, and the other one is in disharmony with those two planets. So we've had a number of them since the spring, and we're getting another one right now. And it's between Venus and Taurus, which is a lovely placement for Venus. And Venus is in harmony with the planet Neptune, the planet of spirituality and creativity. And those two are working together to attempt to create stability and also inspiration. For some of us, there may also be some confusion because Neptune kind of works with that as a tool. And then both of those planets are quincunx, or 150 degrees from the planet Jupiter, the lucky planet. So Jupiter is being pulled one way by Venus, which is probably, you know, it's summer, we want to have a good time, we want to enjoy life, we want to eat well, we want to have fun. Venus and Taurus is very earthy and sensual. And then Neptune and Pisces, you know, is a mixed bag. It can be very creative, very sensitive, very empathetic, but also, again, slightly confused and easy to fall into illusion and confusion. So Jupiter is in Libra. Jupiter in Libra wants us to work in partnership with others. Libra is the sign of harmony and balance and relationships. So it actually goes pretty well with Venus and Taurus because both of them are relationship-oriented signs. But that Neptune in Pisces kind of muddies the water, and there is a lack of clarity. And I think Jupiter is also why we're seeing so much bigger, over-the-top, extreme kind of energy, of course, in our politics, but also other things that have gone on. So, and Jupiter is hitting the chart of the USA exactly. It's not exact yet. It's almost exact. And I'm hoping for great things when it does hit exactly, because the transit itself is supposed to be the end of a karmic debt. A burden gets lifted. So hopefully some of the burdens we in the U.S. are experiencing right now are going to be eased a bit when that Jupiter transit perfects itself.
Well, that... Will that be exact on the 4th or before the 4th of July on the U.S. chart?
So we want Jupiter in the 14th degree. It's in the 13th degree right now. Ooh. And it makes it to the 14th on the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe a day or two in advance of that.
Mm.
But by the 4th of July, it's exact. And it, you know, it will be for a week or so. So that's going to be nice. In fact, I have another chart here. So it's still exact on the full moon, July 9th. And by the time the sun goes into Leo on July 22nd, it's moved on. But that's okay, as long as it does the work it needs to do while it's here. So these yod formations, it's happening on today. It's still in effect on the summer solstice, and it's still in effect on the new moon. By the 4th of July, that aspect is over. And somebody I was reading calls it an aspect of squeezing. It's like we get squeezed. You know, we have to get rid of things we no longer need. So what's he call it? Squeezability. So we have to make sacrifices, not just one sacrifice, but multiple sacrifices due to the two quincunx. So it's sacrifices and adjustments, squeezing out whatever isn't in the nature of the productivity and whatever can be contained through the nozzle planet or the bottom part of the Y. The yod is also called a finger of fate or a finger of God. So it requires sacrifices in order to strengthen, focus the awareness of what's important in that circumstance. So, I mean, it might be a little uncomfortable for us as individuals, but I think it's more worldwide and general that we're having to reevaluate and get rid of stuff we no longer need in order to use that Jupiter in Libra to come to a positive resolution of some of the chaos and confusion we're seeing in the world.
Well, I just want to say for the sake of the listeners that one of the things they are not supposed to get rid of is their ability to reason.
No, please. Now, Jupiter in Libra wants us to maintain our intellect, and the Neptune is what's causing confusion and delusion and self, you know, delusion. So that's that Neptune in Pisces, and it just happens to be sitting on the progressed sun of the USA chart. And that was happening the night of the election in 2016. And I saw that, and I just knew we were in a period of illusion. And, you know, that's proved itself out, and not that we're through it yet, because Neptune's going to be close to that progressed sun for a couple of years. And as the progressed sun moves, Neptune moves with it. So, you know, maintaining groundedness, maintaining clarity, that's the trick. You know, not getting caught up in emotional waves of despair or fear or paranoia or, you know, all those Neptunian kinds of things. Especially as a nation, the USA is coming up to its first Pluto return. So Pluto in a person's chart or in an entity's chart is a source of power and a desire for control. So Pluto is already in the sign of Capricorn, where it's going to, you know, become exact. I think it's in 2020. That Pluto will hit Pluto. And what we're experiencing is not dissimilar to what was going on when the Declaration of Independence was signed. So that 1776 followed a lot of difficult years where the colonies were under the rule of, you know, this powerful country, England, that wanted to tax people to death, taxation without representation and all that. So we're in a similar time where what doesn't work must be reevaluated and perhaps redone. You know, hopefully that doesn't mean revolution in the streets, because that just wouldn't work. But what we are experiencing is this you know, computer hacking and influence by Russia on our last election, giving us this non-legitimate presidency that is causing so much chaos and confusion and diminishing our place in the world as a country to be respected, at least somewhat.
Well, no, it's got to be legitimate, I'm just saying, because I saw it today. I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Trump, get over it." So so if I saw it and read it, it must be so.
Exactly. And it's so funny. I mean, I was looking at Donald Trump's chart. I was looking at Mike Pence's chart to see if there was any indicator that he would be assuming power. But, you know, they're both Geminis. You know, they're both having a similar Saturn transit. It's harder on Donald Trump, but it's also happening to Mike Pence. So Saturn is opposing his moon. Saturn's opposing his Mercury. Saturn's on Donald Trump's moon, opposing his sun. You know he's not having fun with this presidency. And from what I read, he'd like to get out of it.
Yes.
And we'd all like him to get out of it. You know, but his ego is in the way, of course. And
well, it's certainly one thing I support him with. I'm right there with you, Donald.
Yes, get out of here. Go away. Leave us in peace. But who knows? You know, who knows? I mean, what's going on now with the whole healthcare debacle that's going on in Congress today and tonight, where the Republicans are trying to, you know, pull one over on the American people. The Democrats are standing up for what's right. And, you know, it's more Plutonian chaos. Pluto is famous as a power struggle planet. When Pluto's involved, you know, power struggles are likely. So it's a pretty intense time for the good old USA. And on the 4th of July, we get a new solar return chart. So every year on a person's birthday, they get a chart of the year. Every year on even a country's chart, on its birthday, you get a new year. So what's happening in the USA solar returns? Well, we're completing a year of new beginnings, and 2016 was unlike any year I remember, and I'm pretty old. So the USA has been, you know, in a difficult position, which is shown by Saturn on the ascendant, which is probably our diminishing reputation, and Jupiter close to the midheaven, which you would think would be fortunate, but it can be too much happening, too much going on. And that's what people are feeling. It's like ever since the election, it's just been one crisis after another, after another, after another, which I attribute to this chaotic administration. But we've been heading there for a long time. Like Obama said, you know, this all didn't start with Trump. You know, this has been boiling for a while. And with Trump, it's all come, all the darkness, all the deception, all the manipulation, all the, you know, malevolent activity has been right there all along. But with Donald Trump, now we get to see it on the surface. So the new solar return chart has the sun right on the cusp of the fifth house, which is kind of a good house. It's the house of fun and joy and children and creativity and, you know, real estate speculation. And then Saturn's on the midheaven. So hopefully we're going to get some clarity when the USA has its birthday on the 4th of July. Saturn on the midheaven is kind of like, finally, we can establish a stronger foundation for this country. You know, not that things are all going to fall back into place immediately, but we'll work on it. We'll be working on it. And then Neptune's right on the ascendant of the solar return. That old Neptune saying, look at this shiny thing over here. Now look at this shiny thing over there. Oh, look, we're going to drop a bomb over here. And then, you know, something else is going to happen over there. That's Neptune at work, trying to confuse the situation, trying to manipulate and confuse the situation. And our Uranian president has got Uranus, the planet of sudden, unexpected events, right on his sun, exactly opposite his moon. So he's a classic Uranian. He stirs the pot. He stirs the pot. He can't let things lie. He can't let things be. He's got to throw out a surprise here and a surprise there. You know, it just can't, we can't have any peace and calm. And we won't as long as Donald Trump is the so-called president. So he's not having a good time. We're not having a good time. When is this going to break? Is it in July? I don't think so, but I think it is in August. Because in August, we get a couple of eclipses, and one of them hits him directly. So hopefully, that'll be the end. I mean, they've got so much on him already. It just keeps going and going and going. But I know when I was a young psychic student, we learned this concept of transmediumship. There's a certain few people that have the ability to allow out-of-body beings to come into their bodies and run the show. And there's many wonderful channelers who do positive work in this world. But occasionally you run into one of these malevolent beings that just wants to stir things up, one thing after another after another. Somebody blew into Pacific Grove at one time, and I was a part of Public Radio Kazoo, and he came in there and disturbed everything. He almost shut down the PG Art Center. You know, he dated a friend of mine, and she ended up in psychosis. I mean, he just, everywhere he went, things got bad. And that's how I feel about Trump. I don't see any redeeming qualities in him at all. And it's almost like he's the dark magician. You know, he's, look at this shiny thing, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to promise you that, and I'm going to do this and that and this and the other thing. And really, he's just a manipulator, and I don't even think he's a normal human being. I mean, a lot of people feel that way.
Well, it does look like he surrounded himself with denizens from hell. the greatest employment of beings from the island of misfit toys or misfit human beings that we've ever seen.
Well, I feel like we're in our own Shakespeare dramedy because it's so, you know, over the top. He's so extreme. And he's so nonstop. I mean, this, I just don't see it ending well. But for the USA, let's see, for the USA, I mean, the adults have got to step in, and I think that's going to happen in the new solar return year for the USA chart. So for us normal people, other things going on. So we have the summer solstice coming up on, let me get to the right month here. So it's the 20th on the West Coast, and it's after midnight on the 21st on the East Coast. So we have the sun going into the sign Cancer. It happens at 9:24 p.m. on the West Coast. So let me get that chart. So the summer solstice is a turning point of the year. All the solstices and equinoxes are when the sun enters a cardinal sign, one of the signs that initiates new action. So on June 21st at, 12:25 a.m. Eastern Time, the sun goes into 0 degrees of Cancer. So we start our official summer, and just like on the USA solar return, Neptune is rising and Saturn's at the midheaven on the summer solstice. So the work of the country is also what's showing up in the summer solstice chart. To find stability and get back to the foundation of philosophical ideals that this country was formed under, our standing in the world gets better. Jupiter's in the seventh house of other countries, and I think that's helpful. And the summer solstice is in the fourth house. The sun is in the fourth house of home base and foundations. Moon is conjunct Venus, which is really nice. Moon's in Taurus, so maybe people aren't going to fall for the Neptunian delusion quite as much once we have the summer solstice. And actually, there may be financial changes but they seem to work out in a positive way with Venus and Moon in Taurus. And the Moon is exactly in harmony with that power planet Pluto, which is in the 11th house of group energy. So it seems like the power of the people is the deciding force. So hopefully there's more intelligent people who read the writing on the wall than cult followers who want to follow this ugly American strong man for, you know, I mean, I can't believe that they still would, just because where's the jobs? Where's all the bills being passed in Congress? You know, I see these advertisements they're running in Georgia over this election for a representative from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans are putting on commercials saying that the Democrats are enjoying the fact that Republicans were shot. And if they elect the Democrat, there'll be more Republicans shot. I mean, can you believe that kind of dirty politics going on in 2017? I mean, these people are desperate.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Neptune's on the ascendant, so some people will escape and put their heads under the ground so they don't have to see what's going on, or they'll do their opioids or their alcohol and just pretend like everything's going to be fine.
What will happen when we have our new moon in Cancer at the latter portion of the week? Now we'll have sun and moon in Cancer. Will we take like this forward motion and start retreating, going backwards or going into our shell?
Cancer is surprisingly a strong sign. You know, we have the sun and moon at the 2 degrees of Cancer. Mercury's there and Mars is there. One reason we've had this violence lately is Mars has been out of bounds. So it's reached its peak of being out of bounds, which means there's nothing reining it in. If we can imagine, if we can manage to not get in a war in the next few days, things will start to calm down. But that out of bounds Mars has not been our friend, and it's widely opposing the planet Pluto, which you really don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's squaring Jupiter. So Mars is in an extreme state right now. So, you know, violence is one of the things Mars does, war and violence, you know, not a happy thing. And Jupiter's involved, Pluto's involved. You know, the outer planets are the heavy hitters. But, you know, the new moon in June, cast for Washington, D.C., is in the 5th house, which is a positive house. It's the house of children. It's the house of fun and play and sports. You know, we need some good sports going on to distract from the potential for violence. I mean, people die. It's a fact of life, and things happen. But you know, what always gets me is the optics. I mean, this congressman who was seriously wounded on the attack on the ball field, you know, was one of the leading proponents of guns. You know, I mean, how obvious can it be that...
Well, it seems... Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, it seems like what we are seeing a lot of is... very responsive karma throughout. And I think that's what we're even seeing from the election, is we're seeing the karma in our face of, look, here's what you've sown. Here's what you've sown. Here's what you've sown. And it's coming back to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not the funnest time to be alive. But it's certainly interesting. You know, it's never dull. And, you know, I'm glad they showed all those shows over the weekend on the Watergate break-in.
Yeah.
because if there was anything similar to what we're experiencing now, it was then a president who felt he was above the law, you know, and the adults have to step forward, slap his hand, and say, no, no, you can't do that.
I think so I had forgotten till I watched that too, that I think they said, I think I've got this right, is that 14 people were actually sent to prison. I'd forgotten
right.
that. Not necessarily all long term, but 14 people within the White House staff or working for the president went to prison.
Right. Well, that John Dean was certainly a hero.
Yeah.
So
despised
we'll see who the
hero.
Pardon?
Oh, I said despised at the time. He was fairly well reviled, even in the press, for what
he
was
doing.
And
he did go to jail for 5 months.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But he's the one that stood up and said, you know, those other guys are lying. This is what's really going on. You know, he's definitely a hero. And others, too, of course. But let's see what's hitting old Donald. You know, he's got Saturn. Pluto's opposite his Saturn. Some astrologers say that's what's going to take him down. And he's having his Jupiter return. That's probably why he got elected. And his idea that he's going to milk the country for all the money he can, as long as he can. He has some protective things going on. So, you know, I don't know who's going to pardon him, but he probably will, you know, not have to go to jail, unfortunately. But, yeah, the eclipse date is, well, there's one eclipse on the 7th. And so we sail through July, not too badly, but, you know, it's still an intense month. And then August, an eclipse on August 7th, an eclipse on August 21st. In fact, the August 21st eclipse, they're calling the North American eclipse because it's going to be visible, you know, as it moves across the United States. So the path of the eclipse is visible for people who are under it. And they say an eclipse most affects the places where it's visible. So I think Portland, Oregon is the closest place to us here in Monterey. But it'll have a path straight across the country on the 21st. And it's on the new moon at 28 degrees of Leo. Well, Donald Trump has Mars, the war planet, at 26 Leo, and his ascendant at 29 Leo. So the biggest ego part of him is what's being hit by the eclipse. And what do they say? You know, the mighty will fall. Because he's also, he's got the fixed star Regulus. There's four fixed stars of major influence. And the Regulus is called the royal star. And it's a star that can bring someone to great prominence. And they can be very successful as long as they avoid revenge. Once they indulge in revenge, they have their downfall. So I know his biggest drive in life is to get back at his enemies. This is not a person who avoids revenge at all. So I think we're in for an interesting week, that fourth week of August. So,
well, that would seem like the whole obstruction of justice issue would be the one that would take him down from the presidency then.
Right.
You know, has nothing to do, well, there is a Russia issue, but it's not going to be a Russia issue about him. It's going to be the obstruction of justice.
Right. The Regulus star says the heart of the lion, known as the Watcher of the North, a royal star of Persia, one of the great stars in the sky, and is linked to a Persian mythical king. He was a prosperous king, but lost his kingdom when he engaged in revenge. All of the royal stars promise great potential and success as long as a particular human nemesis is avoided. In Regulus' case, the issue is that of revenge, and if strong in a chart, the individual needs to avoid this temptation. I don't think so. So, And Donald just had his solar return on his last birthday, June 14th. Mm. And the sun's in the ninth house, which is the house of courts and the law. Excuse me. And Pluto is right at the bottom of his chart, the planet of death and rebirth, endings and new beginnings, power struggles, power and control. So in a normal person's chart, that would suggest a move or the death of someone in your family. But it seems to me it's a fall from grace for this guy.
Mm.
And he does everything big. You know, nothing's, you know, within bounds. Everything's big, big, big.
Well, his fall from grace, though, would also be with a move. He'd have to move out of the White House. So.
Yeah. Yep. That's good. I'm ready. But we've got our summer solstice in a couple of days, and that should be nice. And it's followed by the new moon on Friday, which I don't think it's retreating into our shell, but I do think it may be, you know, fighting for our country. The USA is a Cancer country, and you know, we should fight for it. We should fight for our form of government, although I do think it needs to be altered. I mean, it's not working. It's obviously not working.
Yeah.
But the USA is a Cancer with Jupiter conjunct Venus in Cancer, which is why we've been so abundant and fortunate and why so many people want to come live here. But Pluto's been opposing the USA's Sun. Jupiter's on the USA's Saturn. We're having some big, big transits. And it's interesting, I also did the chart of Russia. I just wanted to see what was going on with Russia. And we're a Cancer country. Russia's a Capricorn country. And this is modern Russia from 1991, born on Christmas, 1991. The USA's moon, I mean, Russia's moon is in Virgo, and it's conjunct the progressed, what is it? Trump's progressed, where is it? Oh, it's progressed sun. Is it? Let me see. Yeah, his progressed sun is conjunct the moon of Russia. So that's why he can't escape it. He can't get rid of it. And Russia's got Venus and Scorpio conjunct Pluto and Scorpio. That's that ruthless drive for power that we see coming from Putin. And it just seems like the people sooner or later are going to overthrow that corrupt government. I know they've been trying. I know they've been demonstrating in the streets. I know they've been locked up and poisoned and shot. But they're just going to keep trying until they get their country back.
Yeah, you know? I would suspect, I may not be right about this, and I don't have an in-depth knowledge, but I would suspect, being the type of ruler that Putin is, he doesn't have a real deep bench to draw from if he's not in power. Because I don't see him surrounding himself with people that could be potential challenges to him. So I would suspect if the people take to the streets and he's toppled, they may be able to get their country back.
It would be nice. I really feel for those people. I know the ones that have fought Putin, the ones that haven't been maimed and killed, are really heroes to me. You know, they've got it so much worse than we do.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
I mean, we've got this joker in the White House. It's been 5 months, and you know, it's almost more than we can stand. Just think of what they've been through communism and then through Putin. You know, he's more evil than Trump. You know, Trump is kind of a buffoon, a buffoon that causes damage, but
yes.
He's not as vile and Satan-like as Putin. I should look up his chart. That'd be interesting.
I think as long as people remember that Putin is the richest man in the world, you know that his position has always been about power and wealth.
Right.
And he's fought off every attempt to potentially unseat him. Phony election.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Well, he knows all the tricks. He invented them. You know, and he was really successful in screwing up our election. I mean, what they say is, you know, we were attacked by a foreign power. Our country was, you know, cast into chaos and much detriment from that election.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just hated Hillary so much, he was willing to do whatever he could, and he managed to do it with the help of some of Trump's people, if not Trump himself. You know, I don't even know if Trump is capable of being smart enough, you know, to be involved. I'm sure he'd do anything for money. That it just seems like he'd do anything for money. There's not enough money in the world for Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't get that kind of greed. I just don't. I mean, how much can you spend? How much do you need? I mean, isn't there other values that are more important?
I guess.
I mean, there are to me.
I think it goes to that heart of many of those at that level of wealth feel entitled. It feels special because they have that level of wealth. And clearly, you and I are deficient because we don't have that level of wealth.
Right.
So the taking of more, and an interesting thing, there was an article I read recently, I wish I remembered the source, is really the people who are all at that level of wealth are not producers of anything.
Right.
It's all about money begetting money begetting money.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be a cause for alarm to all the rest of us, because the monetary system should be based on the return of value, not the return of money for money, because that's not about value. That's money.
Right.
So it's interesting, but I agree with you. I don't understand why a billionaire has to have more billions.
Right. Well, in Donald Trump, he has Venus conjunct Saturn, which kind of shows he's really insecure, and he probably didn't feel loved as a small child. And talk about arrested development. You know, and he's got that Uranus on his son, which is, you know, strong opinions. I'm right. I know it all. I mean, what do they call it? Malevolent narcissism. He doesn't know that he doesn't know. So, I mean, you could almost want to feel sorry for the guy or the being that's inhabiting the guy. You know, he wanted to be president to get all the attention, and he's certainly gotten it. And he doesn't realize that people are laughing at him all around the world. I mean, maybe he does realize it, but that's not what he was going for.
Well, I do think that there was a point on either election night or the next day where he probably defecated all over himself, because he never I don't think he actually ever thought he would win.
Right.
I think he was, as surprised as anybody else.
Well, you know, now they're saying that, was it 39 states had their machines manipulated?
Yes, by Russia.
Yeah.
That their systems were hacked by Russia. So, and because the problem we're going to have with this, and this is just my opinion without going into depth, is because most of those machines, those companies, declared their systems proprietary. We don't have a baseline to go back to measure anything. And because they don't output any results, we also have no baseline to say it looks like any boats were tripped. All we know is they got into the software.
Well, there's got to be some really bright people that can figure it out.
Well, I'm sure they'll put bright people on it, but we might not be able to know because we don't produce. The problem is we really need to produce a receipt. When you and I vote electronically, we should get a receipt of our votes, and I think we should have to do a signed validation of it and turn that in.
Yeah.
And then if for some reason the tallies are called into question, you go back to the sheets. But in the meantime, my signature is saying, I validated this is who I voted for.
Right.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But we don't have that.
Yeah, we need that. I'm going to put you on that, Salazar.
Okay. I'll get right on. I'll have something by Friday.
Okay.
And it'll be the best. I'm telling you, the best, because I've got the best words. I've been to the best schools. I didn't attend any of them, but I've been to them.
Right. And I know you're really smart.
That's right. I'm so smart because I have the best words too.
Yeah, you have the best words, and you're really smart.
And I'll do it in a bigly way.
Bigly, bigly.
Well, Joyce,
well,
go ahead.
The lesson is that we, you know, need to have compassion for our ignorant fellow countrymen and not make them feel ashamed of their lack of intelligence and education. I mean, that's what I'm getting off the media. The people that elected him are, you know, the ignoramuses of the world, and we're supposed to not make them feel bad about themselves.
Well, and most of them are doubling down anyway on what they did and why they did it. And the confrontation and conflict over it just entrenches them more.
Yeah.
But we need a better way of... And part of it, too, goes back to the media itself. We need a better way of letting people know that not everything is really an opposing opinion. Some things are just plain BS.
Yeah.
Whether a candidate says it or a person says it, some things just aren't factual. And we need to call people out on that as it happens and not let it become the meme that sells them. So, Joyce, I let folks know at the beginning, you might have heard, about the quarterly preview coming up on the 30th over at the Elks Club in Monterey. And they can go to Good Vibrations Radio. They can connect to the link over on Facebook. And it sounds like that you'll be doing the astrology for July, August, and September. But it does sound like for the rest of this month, going into July especially, that what we can do is we can really kind of clear out the dreck. We can take accountability for our actions, clear out the garbage that we're holding on to and getting rid of it, and really get to start afresh as a follow-on to the solstice. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, yes. I think we need to eliminate the unnecessary and focus in on what's really important. And we don't need to be depressed or worried or freaked out. We just need to do the work.
Yeah. Well, that sounds...
Whatever it is we can do.
That's right. And and I think that's an important point you just said there, too, that everybody needs to get. It's about each of us doing the part that we can do. Not worry about doing everything, or not even worry about that I have to do something big locally or globally or anything. If you do your part in your piece of the world where you are, it still helps all the rest of us.
Right. Right. We can't let the forces of darkness win.
Nope. Buy more light bulbs. So,
yes.
So, Joyce, thank you for joining us. I want to remind folks, too, you're here on the third Monday of each month now. And how can they get in touch with you if they want a personal follow-up?
They can call me at 831-236-6572. That's 831-236-6572. And I'm on Facebook at Pacific Astrology. So if they just put Pacific Astrology in their search guide, they'll find me.
All right. I think it's always a joy for me to have this time with you and to hear what you have to share. And I really appreciate all the work that you do locally and globally as well.
Thank you, Salazar, and back at you.
So I want to remind folks that Good Vibrations Radio will be back Monday next week from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. Wendy Coulter will be joining us. Wendy is a healer, a medical intuitive, clairvoyant, and she'll explain how anyone can master their own intuitive healing and become more informed about what's going on within themselves. So I want to thank you for listening. Another reminder about our quarterly preview coming up next week. Get yourself engaged. It's at the Elks Club. It's only $10, and you get all of this wisdom from all of those wonderful wisdom leaders. I want to thank you once again for listening. Take this week with our solstice, and remember, turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings to you. Namaste.